Welcome to Inside Bayou Podcast. Yeah. So today we'll be speaking about a very interesting topic. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, so that's what's trending now. It's a very pressing issue going on right now. So yeah, that's what we'll be discussing today. Black Lives Matter. And I'll be hosting a friend, a very good friend, a brother. Someone I actually grew up with in Ghana. He left Ghana. So yeah, he left quite early. So yeah. So he's actually in Minneapolis. So he was at the police. Yeah. So basically that's what it is. So yeah. So let's get going. Yeah. Why am I buying police? But let's get going and see how it goes. Alright. I hope you enjoy this. Alright, let's go. Hello, bro. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great, bro. Welcome to Inside Bayou Podcast. It's great to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. We're in very trying times. You know, it's not been easy anywhere. Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely not.
Yeah. We'll get through this.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, one of the great having you on this show.
Of course.
Before we move on, just tell us briefly about yourself. Then.
Okay, well, my name is Joshua Gamson. People just call me Josh. You know, regular guy, no big deal. I live in Minneapolis. Minnesota, and you know, a lot of things have happened this year, but you know, we're surviving. So I work in the field of psychology, and yeah,
that's about it. That's
good.
You know, there's one interesting thing I mostly see. You know, anytime I'm speaking with someone with a different accent, there's a temptation for me to always speak in the person's accent.
You're not the only one.
I don't fall for that temptation today. I'm here to
feel free,
Chinese.
Brother. Do what you gotta do.
I'm here to meet a Chinese and see how cool. Alright, so in recent times we find ourselves in very, very can I say unusual, but then due to one incident, we see people going on the streets, we see people protesting. Right now, Black Lives Matter is even more of a matter than even COVID-19 is the need, it was trending. And yeah, you are the one who is at the beat of where it started. And yeah, we know that's not the first time we've seen such rallies. It's not the first time we've seen Black people stand up for their rights. You see, it's happened over the years. But this time around, the magnitude and the dynamics of it is completely different. Yeah, so, yeah, but I want to ask you, how has it been like living in Minneapolis? How long have you stayed there? Yes.
I've lived in Minneapolis for 8 years now. So, it's been 8 years. So it's been quite a bit. Yeah, I've been here for quite a long time.
So how would you describe living in Minneapolis? How is the whole hustle like? Is it fun? Is it good? Minneapolis?
Minneapolis, I would say, is a very diverse state. Okay. very cold, extremely cold during the winter, because we share a border with Canada, and it's, you know, wicked cold in Canada. And, you know, I remember certain years, I think about 5 years ago, we recorded a record breaking windshield of like minus 54 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was extremely cold, and I had to work that day. And, you know, it's yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, we're Minnesotans, we're used to the cold, and so we just keep going. Yeah, you know, one of the beautiful things about Minneapolis or Minnesota in general is the Mall of America, of course, biggest mall in America. And, you know, I happen to live about, what, 20 minutes away from it. So that's exciting. Minnesota is a land of 10,000 lakes. And
wow.
So we have 10,000 lakes, literally. 10,000 lakes. Yeah, there are lakes all over, like water bodies all over. Yeah. Some winters are not fun because it gets really icy, and the driving conditions are a bit harsh, and there's loads and loads of accidents. And, you know, I actually even got in an accident recently. Yeah, last year, I think, on the beginning of this year. And
okay.
I had to, you know, get a new car as a result. So,
yeah,
Minneapolis, in short. And anyway, also, I can't forget the legend, Prince. Okay? The legend. The Prince, musician Prince. You heard of Prince? He is from Minnesota. He lived here in Minnesota.
Wow.
So, that's good. So very culturally diverse and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, probably we have to pay a visit there one of these days.
You have to, brother. Yeah. But make sure you bring your heavy coats, because
we'll cope. So to the issue on the table, to what's been going on across the world, Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how is it like, mm-hmm, concerning racism, Black Lives Matter in Minneapolis? Because it's actually what triggered, is the main place what triggered everything we are seeing across the globe right now. It's happening in America, in every state. We see Confederate statues being pulled down. We see people calling out for various reforms. We see in the UK, people it's going everywhere. And it's
definitely
so massive. And how would you describe even racism in Minneapolis, Black life? How do you treat the Blacks over there specifically?
Yeah, you know, this is a very broad topic, one that can be easily misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't even know the difference between a protest and a riot. And, you know, educating ourselves to start with would be quite nice, because a protest is a public expression of objection, disapproval, or dissent towards an idea or course of action, typically a political one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then over the years, okay, from the days of slavery, a very, very heavy topic no one likes to talk about, but it's a conversation we need to have, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people talk about Blacks, and they talk about, oh, slavery being our history. No, slavery interrupted our history, okay? And that is a fact, because we were minding our own business, right?
Yeah.
Ghanaian, typical Ghanaian, say I was sitting my somewhere.
And
you know, so it's like it interrupted our history and our culture. And, you know, from then and now, even, you know, history tells us that, you know, there wasn't a man in the history who wrote books about race. This is dating back to like when America's first, you know, captured Indians in their land, and
where
it described Blacks as literally like, we're not humans, we're just not. you know, and that notion has gone on for years and years and years. And you know, this is an issue that has been happening over and over again until today. It's 2020 in the pandemic, and we're still fighting this.
Yeah, we're still fighting
this thing called racism.
I think our personality is like one of the longest wars the world has ever fought.
Literally, bruv. And you know, from days of like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, you know, the Black Panther movement. You know, those are all historic moments, or historic, moments that, you know, we cannot forget, you know?
Not at all.
And, you know, excuse me to use a bit of profanity, but NWA made a song called Fuck the Police, okay? Mm-hmm. I saw a meme that says, hey, my grandma said that no one will make a song saying fuck the police if the police never did any wrong. Because you never hear anyone singing a song, fuck the fire department.
Yeah.
And it's true in a way, you know, a little funny, a bit profane, but, you know, true. You know, okay, the issue of racism, okay, in America in general, I feel like most of the time is blatant. Other times it's just because people haven't been educated much. Look, there are so many people that live in America that have not gone outside of America before.
Wow.
Outside of their state. Let alone outside of America. Okay. So, you know, it's not like, oh, we're more privileged living here, in the sense that we haven't, you know, yeah, maybe they live in America, but that's all they know.
Yeah.
And so people are not really vexed in other cultures to really understand how things work. But regardless of how things work or not, we're all humans. And that is the most important thing you need to remember. Not to see color, but remember we're humans first, even before anything.
Yeah.
You know the way it is in America in general is like the police have a notion, you know, preconceived notion about black people, because of course since history dates back, black people have been seen as thugs, you know, people that bring drugs into communities, people that do not have a job, people that, you know, are no good, and you know, people you should fear. And so it's like American police are very quick to pull the trigger, very quick to get a gun, although they have other non-lethal things they could try. They're very quick to pull the trigger. But why do I say this? You know, for a long time I refused to criticize the police and said, you know, I think there are good cops out there.
Yeah,
but events
so.
Leading to events, leading to events, leading to events. It's just, you just see one thing and one thing alone. Murder. And people just getting acquitted for it. Because they're people in authority. And because they have authority, they abuse it. Look, over here, a typical traffic stop, okay? Mm-hmm. A typical traffic stop. Say you were speeding, or, you know, you can get pulled over for literally anything. Some people call it DWB, driving while black. Because I have had a few times where I've been pulled over where I wasn't speeding. It was just a waste of my time because I was just driving a nice car. and I cannot make this up because, you know, like, you're black.
Yeah.
So you're just seen as inferior. And if, let's say, you have a very nice car, oh, he must be dealing drugs, or he must be, you know, but no, maybe some of us actually have jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe some of us are actually educated. Maybe some of us are actually trying to be better people. Maybe some of us are trying to get jobs and create awareness of this systemic racism. You know, Will Smith made a very good point. He said, racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. And that was a very profound statement because it is true. Imagine back in the day, think about how many people have died, okay? Due to the fact that no one was there to record. No one saw what actually happened, so you bought any and every story. Even before social media, before cameras and phones and technology. Think about it. Let that sink for a second. Think of the many George Floyds that have died. And no one was there to record, so they told you, oh, he had a gun and they planted it. Or, you know, he moved a certain way and I thought he was going to get a gun. And I'm scared.
Hmm.
Okay, for example.
Sure.
For example, Trayvon Martin. Okay, Trayvon Martin was only about, was he 9 years old, I believe? A black boy simply walking to the gas station, filling station. People in Ghana know it as the filling station, okay?
Yeah.
To get Skittles, which is a kind of candy, all right? And an Arizona, which is a canned drink. It's a flavored drink. They have mango flavor, whatever. Black boy goes, gets his drink, is on his way home. Has his hoodie, he's wearing a hoodie, so has his hoodie up. And he's just walking, minding his business. And a man that deems himself a neighborhood vigilante follows him around, demanding that he stopped so he can talk to him, thinking he had stolen something
from the man.
Regardless, needless of whether or not he stole something, you do not have that authority to just pull a trigger based on assumption, based on the color of someone's skin. But you notice that every single time a white person, a white cop, kills a black person, they go to court. Many other times, they get acquitted. And you're watching videos of clear evidence of murder right in front of you, but people will find a way to justify it. Yeah. Oh, well, 5 years ago, he was caught doing blah, blah. It does not matter. It does not matter what history this person has. You don't murder someone over a $20 bill. Worst have happened. Breonna Taylor. This happened right before George Floyd. I haven't even started the George Floyd situation. Yeah. Breonna Taylor was in her own house, minding her business. Four cops that were serving a warrant. Went into the wrong house, fired about 22 rounds, and of which 18 hit Breonna Taylor, an innocent woman. Let that sink for a second. They did not get acquitted.
One thing about this whole protest, especially the one with Floyd, I feel it's not just Floyd own was like a trigger to everything, but then it's something which has been piled up over the years, over the decades. And
of course,
Floyd was like, there's a threshold of everything, enough is enough, we need to step out. And it wasn't like people planned, mostly protests or rallies are planned, like they have scheduled dates. We are doing this at this time. But this time, it just happens out of the blue. Someone calls a phone, meets me here. And there's, you see people all over the streets in so many countries fighting for the same thing.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing is like every country has its own sort of racism. I heard Italy is worse. Brazil, I heard, is worse. I heard Brazil has a lot of black people, but I think the whites rule and there's a lot of killings of black people, and it's sad. But we shouldn't have to beg for our lives. We shouldn't have to protest over and over and over again to tell you that because of the skin of a color of our skin, sorry, because of the color of our skin, we are inferior and we are a threat. It's insane.
Really,
there was an incident. There was an incident of a guy running away from a cop. Okay, running away from a cop. Running away from someone means you're probably scared of them. Yeah. Or maybe you didn't want to get caught. But how much of a threat is someone running away from you and getting shot? Yeah. And then somehow we find a way to justify that in court and make sure that the cop is acquitted. Like, it's kind of insane. And you know, it's always just it becomes a hashtag for 2 months. People protest here and there, and then it's like everyone forgot about it. But then it had happened so many times, and I think like George Floyd's was the ultimate pinnacle. Like, it was clear evidence. Something no one can deny because the person was right there recorded. And it's very hard to watch the video even. It's cringe worthy. Like watching that video like the whole time.
You're likely to think it's a movie. You're like, no, like this is someone dying.
This is real, bro. Real stuff. A knee on the neck for not 1 minute, not 1 second, not 2 minutes, not three, not four, not five, not six. I don't care if you're Hercules. I don't care if you're the Hulk. A knee on your neck when you're so dead like that in that position. With limited range of motion. Gasping for air. I do not care if you're the Hulk. That is fatal. Especially if you have some pre-existing conditions or chronic ailments. Which we understood that Floyd had. But we shouldn't cry for our lives. We shouldn't be killed like we're animals. It's 2020. Look, I got it. I had a very traumatic experience with the police.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I've met a nice police before. But there was one incident where I was traumatized. To the point where a gun was like basically drawn on me.
Wow. And what was the offense? What did he say you had done?
Pardon me?
How what led to the whole meetup with the police?
This is a very interesting story. So I trying to get to a friend's house, okay? I got to his house. He's like, hey, I'm over at another friend's house. So if you can come over there, but there's not really a particular address, but I can kind of direct you. Mm-hmm. And as he was directing me, I got lost. And I kept looking at my phone while driving. And I was like, you know what? To be safer, I need to just park. And then, you know, just figure out where I'm going first. And then start driving because I don't want to be on my phone while driving because that's not safe. So I look around. I'm like, oh shit, this place is pretty dark. But what is around me? I'm like, I see a police station. I'm like, oh, great. Let me go park, you know, park at the police station.
That'll be safer.
Yeah, that'll be safer. And it was under a streetlight. And this was summertime. So this was about, I would say 7 p.m. And you know, over here during, well, 8 p.m. during summertime, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., the sun is still out.
Yeah, the sun is still out.
So I'm telling you, it's like just about starting to get dark, you know? And I was under the streetlight, parked in the parking lot of a police station, and it was bright, very bright light. And both my windows were down, front windows were down. And so I'm just tweaking the GPS just to see, hey, can I get will I get any luck, you know, with it? So I'm just chilling, trying to find it. I see three cop cars, right? Their sirens on. Woo, woo, woo. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm at the police station. They're probably coming back from a, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is, and coming back into the, you know, parking lot and whatnot. So I'm just minding my business. Next thing I know, all three cars like barricade me.
Wow.
And then they shine their bright, like they lights have bright lights. When you they pull you over, they have this light that they shine on you. It's brighter than my future, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Man, I was scared. I was like, yo, what's going on? I'm just minding my business. Like, did I do anything wrong? So they all get out of their cars. As if the street light and their bright lights were not enough, they had flashlights too. And all three of them come to my window, peeking through my car with the flashlight, checking. I don't know what they're searching for. So the one cop comes to the window, and my windows are down. Two windows are down, okay? Yeah. Mind you, the two front windows are down. So he comes to the front, goes, can we help you? And I'm like, I'm just trying to find some directions to my friend's house.
Okay.
And I had the phone in my hand, right?
Yeah.
And I was showing him, like, I was the like map. tilting the phone to show him the maps to say, like, you know, this is where I'm trying to go, and I'm a bit confused. I just parked to see if I could find directions. So immediately I tilted the phone, and like, you know, right away he's touching his gun, like, ready to, you know. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well,
you're telling me that you can't see, with all this bright light, you can't see that I'm holding a phone.
Well,
that you're so quick to draw a weapon. And I was traumatized. You know, it was pretty scary, because would I have had a different treatment if I was white? Absolutely. Look, there's been massacres, okay? There's been massacres in the United States. You know, there's a Sandy Hook shooter that went into an elementary school, shot up kids, 5 years old.
Okay.
Shut up about how many kids? Was it 21 kids? Something like that. A big tragedy. Mass tragedy. They arrested the guy quietly from that place. Nobody hurt him. Nobody hit him. Nothing. Slowly. Put him in a cop car. Took him in. He said he has mental issues. I bet you if this guy was black, he would not make it out of the building alive, man. And then the bear doormat. I'm telling you, man.
It's the streets.
I'm telling you. Look, there was this guy called Amadou Diallo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Amadou Diallo. Let me try to be find the actual year. Okay, so this happened on 4th of February, 1999. Okay?
Okay.
So in the early hours of February 4th, he's a 23-year-old Guinean man, okay? He's an immigrant from Guinea.
All right.
His name was Amadou Diallo, okay? Born on September 2nd, 1975. He was shot, killed by four New York City Police Department plainclothes officers. Sean Carroll, Richard Murphy, Edward McMillan, and Kenneth Boss. Carroll, one of the cops, later claimed to have mistaken him for a rape suspect from 1 year earlier. Excuse me?
1 year earlier?
Though his claim was never confirmed by any objective evidence. Is what the internet is saying, and is what happened. Is the reality, the truth of the matter. The officers fired a combined total of 41 shots.
On one person?
19 of which struck Diallo outside his apartment. in the Bronx, New York City. Guess what? None of the cops were charged. The charges were second-degree murder and reckless endangerment, and they were all not guilty. Can you believe that? So this history dates back. These things have been happening. I can mention several names. Sandra Bland, Philando Castillo. This is another one that happened here in Minnesota, where a traffic stop. He had his wife and kid. I think the kid was like 6 years old, in the backseat. He was shot right in front of them. If you were that kid, how traumatized would you be?
Extremely, very.
And that is one of like billions. There is Sandra Bland, like I said, Philando Castillo. There's Eric Garner. There is Alton Sterling. Yep, Eric Garner also happened in New York, I believe.
Yeah.
He was accused of selling cigarettes.
It was similar to Floyd's.
Similar to Floyd's, exactly. He was accused of selling cigarettes on the street.
Cops came, also choked to death.
Tackled him. Yep, tackled him to the ground, choked him. He kept screaming, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe." Guess what? He died. Guess what happened to those cops? Not a bloody thing. And so you keep seeing this over and over and over again, and they always use the excuse, "He was resisting arrest," or, you know, "He moved a certain way, and I thought, well, my life was in danger, so I thought, you know, he was black, so I felt I felt threatened." And American cops are quick to pull the trigger, very quick.
Alright, so I have two more questions for you.
Absolutely.
Sure. What do you think? First of all, let me ask you about this. Do you think this whole protest, this whole information, this whole movement, it's actually the moment we've been waiting for? It was going to cause that permanent change we need to stop racism? Or you think at the beginning of the permanent change? Because there's something we've been fighting for years. What do you think is so different about this time around?
That's a very good question. You know, first of all, if I should say this will be what will fix the problem, I'm not very confident in that. Because how many years has it been? Same thing. Same thing we're fighting for. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
So many murders. Like, how do we trust the police if they're the ones murdering us? Imagine wanting to call the police and being scared, like, well, I guess never mind, because the police might even kill me.
Yeah.
You shouldn't fear for your life, for jogging on the street. You shouldn't fear for your life for just being black.
No.
You shouldn't have live in a place where you're scared that walking into the wrong house, walking into the wrong neighborhood, moving a certain way, talking a certain way, looking a certain way, and just get you killed. Think that's about so, how so paranoid sad. You will be. How paranoid you will be walking around every day. Just hoping you won't encounter such such unfortunate incident. So, you know, I think George Floyd is a start of something big that we have been waiting for. Will it cause a change? Oh, yes. I sure do believe that. But will it fix it entirely? I don't think so. Because racism is generational. No one is born racist, ever. Some kind of information must be passed for a person to conceive someone a certain way. Nobody's born racist, ever. Because if you were born and you just met me and I was black and that's who you saw in your world, that's what you deem as normal.
Yeah.
Unless someone starts feeding you ideas, hey, see that color thing? don't pass the dentist, man.
Yeah.
That's not the real, that's not the, you know, racism, no one is born racist. So, you know, I think George Floyd created some kind of awareness where the people that always criticize Black Lives, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, and, you know, those that didn't necessarily understand why Colin Kaepernick was bending a knee for her, to bring awareness, they're starting to see, like, from watching the George Floyd video, see how hard that video is to watch. And I don't care what race you are, if you have empathy and some kind of emotion and conscience, you know, watching that alone will be hard, and you will understand the fight we've been trying to fight for years. And so this is a start of something big, I believe.
Yeah. So the last question, do you have anything to add?
I think I've said a lot.
You really have.
I think I've said a lot. But your final question.
So my final question is, we see people go on the streets. We see people pull down statues of leaders who were behind the whole movement of slavery. We see people calling for change of names. Even in, I hear right now, even in America, they want them to change their army bees, the name of army bees that have soldiers who were for slavery. And also, you see, even on the street, I watched a video where on the street to the White House, there's a painting now of Black Lives Matter. And the road leading to the White House. So we see people go on the streets, people are posting on social media, their awareness is there, and we are doing everything together. But what do you think we can do individually, whether in Ghana, whether in Russia, in South Africa, and what do you think we can do individually, especially as Blacks, to make Black Lives Matter count?
You know what? I think there's a lot of stereotypes surrounding Black people in the first place. And
I second that one.
And I think that we have to start by having a conversation, creating awareness on things that we do ourselves. But then also, you think about it and you're like, well, I shouldn't apologize for being Black. I shouldn't have to beg for my life just because of the color of my skin. So when you really think about it, it's like we just need to love each other.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not everyone's going to be on the same page. Unfortunately, some people are racist. They pass it on to their kids, and, you know, sometimes the knowledge is just, you know, people are one way. Some people may live in a city where there's not a lot of Black people, and that's all they've seen is white people. So it's just hard to, like, get this out there. But I think social media is a very good platform, you know, podcasts, you know, things like this. It's very good to create awareness, because, you know, you never know who's going to listen to your stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, I thank God that we're all alive in this, you know, pandemic. But, you know, for a people, the protest and the pandemic, it's a serious issue. You know, you just think about that and you're just like, wow.
Well, the message is trying to,
we shouldn't do that,
send it out there that the movement is more important than even the pandemic, because for people to step out and risk their life even in such a time, what we have at hand is really, really bad. No one is sitting together to go out and see, I'm going to risk my life. And one thing I also realized, I was thinking about this whole Black Lives Matter thing, thinking about where racism started from. And not to be harsh on ourselves, I think personally, from what I was thinking, I was like, I think we the Blacks were actually the whole originators of this racism thing, when we had to fight amongst ourselves and sell ourselves to the white people as slaves. In a sense whereby leading in that way, it has been now in quotes devalued as But then, years down the lane, when the slave trade has ended, it still doesn't give the white people or anyone the right to look down on us at all. But then, as a people, there's this saying people say that united we stand, divided we fall. And personally, I think if we are united, if we are falling, then it means we are divided. But then, that if the statement is true. But then, the moment we become united, I'm sure we'll be able to stand against this whole thing. But then, yeah, as you said, this is the beginning of a whole of this is the beginning to the end, or this is the beginning of something permanent. Because I don't think something which started, which has lasted over a century, will end in a year. But then,
absolutely,
we surely also stop preaching Black Lives Matter after 2 months. After 3 months, we need to keep on talking about Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Even with that,
you know, and the whole that's a very great point. I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
Sure. I'm all ears.
Oh, keep going.
Yeah. So I think we need to keep on talking about Black Lives Matter even after shall I see the policemen have been prosecuted and everything. We need to keep, it shouldn't be something that just lasts for a year. But the more we keep on speaking about Black Lives Matter, the children coming up will realize that we'll now get the whole idea we've been talking about, that Black Lives really matter. That we'll be able to feel, clear out the negative mind, the negative ideologies that have hanged around for so many years. So yeah, that's what I personally believe. And I also think we the Blacks who go out there and probably who go out of Ghana, out of Africa to European countries or to the Americans or we should also be more careful with the way we do. We shouldn't give them a right or a platform to say, oh yeah, we said it, these guys are thugs, or we said it, these guys are bad guys, you know. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's when you think about it, you realize that, you can't really be mad anymore. We have tried peacefully protesting for years, okay? Colin Kaepernick is a NFL player that took the knee while the national anthem was playing. For that,
they had to ban them from taking the knee.
Yeah, and he was banned from the NFL because of that, because of standing for what he believed in. Because of having a voice, okay? And so you think about things like this, it's like, it was just bigger than just bending the knee. Black Lives Matter is bigger than just a hashtag. It's bigger than all these lives lost. It's a people coming together to say, you know what, we have been tortured enough, and we need our freedom. And most importantly, is love. Is if we can love her, means we're supposed to follow. Just as if I love you, I won't murder you. If I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love you, I won't. If we can love each other, regardless of white, black, red, green, yellow, cousin.
So
I believe that it is a Black Lives, the Black Lives Matter is bigger than us.
Yeah.
It's bigger than just the hashtag. It's bigger than all these more of a people coming together to say, listen, we have been tortured enough and we need our freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, like we need to understand as a people that love conquers all. even in the Bible, it talks about love being the greatest commandments of all.
Yeah.
God knew what he was saying, because if you love your neighbor, you won't steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you won't kill them. If you love your neighbor, you know, it's just like, if we can love each other, if we can perfect loving each other, everything else becomes a lot easier. And we can be the change that we look for. But it has to start somewhere. And I think George Floyd is one of the few, or one of the many.
One of the many.
As a point of correction, one of the many lives that have been lost to this movement. And may he rest in peace. And I just hope that people around the world can just love each other.
Yeah.
If we can understand that, everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah.
So it was nice. Thank you for having me.
Sure, it was great having you on this show, and we hope this conversation will go a long way to influence lives.
I hope so.
Shape history and influence the whole Black Lives Matter movement.
Absolutely. Black lives matter. All lives do matter.
All lives.
Black lives matter.
Black lives
matter. But right now we're talking about Black Lives Matter, because you know, it's just if you say Black Lives Matter and someone is like, no, all lives matter, it's just like if your house is on fire, you tell the fire department to spray every other house.
Every house
in the area? No.
No.
Black Lives Matter is the focus now. Not saying all lives don't matter. Black Lives Matter.
Yeah,
all lives matter. So thank you so much for having me.
That's great, bro.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless you. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Inside by Your Podcast. Yeah, I'm trying not to make mistakes, but then Charlie, the mistake did come. I think it's my first time, so yeah, it makes sense. But then, yeah, before I go, let me tell you about the most important person in my life. His name is Jesus. So if you are listening to this episode or you are listening to this podcast and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, Charlie, it's not the best. In fact, it's not good at all. So just decide to have one. Jesus loves you so much. You get it? Yeah. So if you decided to have a relationship with Jesus, you can send me a mail. My email is in the description. Yeah, so we talk. All right, we have a team ready to pray with you, counsel you, and send you materials. But the most important message is that Jesus loves you and he cares for you. That's why he came to die on the cross for you. All right, yeah. So thank you one more time for listening to today's episode of Inside Bayou Podcast. Yeah, Inside Bayou, you know, and one inside life. The Bible, before we are change up, sometimes you have to change things. So yeah, thank you once again, and most importantly, Jesus loves you. All right. Stay safe. God bless you.